just say why I've offered my resignation for the mistake that I made in my annual returns, and cover a couple of the other allegations that are made in the Wishart article. I'm offering my resignation for mistakes I made with respect to filing a company return, a company called Queen's Park News, because those mistakes aren't compatible with the standards that I attached to the role of Attorney General. Those allegations were first put to me this morning, and I responded just after lunch by tendering my resignation to the Prime Minister. The allegations arise from a failed business relationship that I had with Mr. Hislop. His assertions are set out in a story in the Investigate magazine from Mr. Wishart. Effectively, he makes three allegations in my analysis of it. The first is in the statement of respect to the annual return, for which I've resigned, but which I'll put in context in a minute. The second allegation is an allegation that Mr. Wishart characterises as an offer to bribe Mr. Hislop, which I reject. And the third is that I somehow cheated Mr. Hislop and caused his financial downfall, which I also reject. In terms of the business failures that lie behind this, I've never hidden the fact that I have had business failures. In fact, I've almost advertised it, because I've known that in politics nothing remains hidden. And it's true that none of the four ventures that I was involved with Mr. Hislop in succeeded. They all failed in one way or another. But it's also true that my successes outnumber my failures, both in terms of number and value. I've succeeded in business before these events involving Mr. Hislop, and I succeeded in business subsequently. I also think it's true that although I've made mistakes, I've endeavoured to live an honourable life. In terms of the annual return issue, following Mr. Hislop's bankruptcy, I was in contact with the official SIME, and indeed in the year following did it the right way round. It was clear that the official SIME had no interest in the company because it had debts that exceeded its liabilities, therefore it was of no value to the official SIME. I put the resolution which accompanies your annual return to the official SIME the first time that he signed it and sent it back. I should have followed that same course in subsequent years. I didn't, when I cut the corner, and that was a mistake, and that's why I changed my resignation. I'm happy to answer questions.
When you call it a mistake, you characterise it as a mistake, wasn't it? Basically, deceiving the company's office.
I wouldn't see it like that. I mean, I didn't have any sense or intent. There's no disadvantage to cause to anyone through this. In my mind, you know, the official SIME had said he wasn't interested the previous year, and I really didn't give that much thought to it. If I had, obviously, I wouldn't have done it, because it was very easy to avoid this outcome if I had done in subsequent years what I'd done in the first year.
The mistake really usually is something that you're not particularly aware of. I mean, you're clearly aware of this when you made the declaration.
It's easy to say that with the benefit of hindsight. You know, I've always been aware of these failings and these business ventures of Russell Hislop, and I thought they would come back to accusations would come from Romney Hyde and the like about these things, as they always seem to. But I can honestly say, until this issue was raised with me this morning, I've never given a thought to it.
Did you break the law and do you expect to be prosecuted?
I'm not sure whether I've technically breached the law or not. I admit that I've made a mistake, and I expect to be treated the same as anyone else would be in this situation. And I certainly think that in respect of the Office of Attorney General, we've got to have the highest standards of compliance with the law, and that's why I offered my resignation.
Surely, though, as a former Attorney General, you'd know whether you've broken the law. I mean, you're the government's law officer.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not a fair question to ask of me here. You know, I think I'll let other people make up their mind on that one.
Do you think, do you think that hundreds of companies file false declarations like that every year, just to cut corners?
Yeah, I'm sure they would.
What would have happened if you had ticked the other box on the particular answer?
The other thing I could have done is just not tick the box, and then the only difference would have been that it would have been a $400 or $500 audit for the auditor.
Would the auditor have found anything that you didn't want to find, for example? Which seems to be the allegation that Hislop has made.
No, it wouldn't have. Mr. Hislop made various allegations against me at the time of his bankruptcy. Those allegations, as is clear from the investigative article, were looked into by the official assignee. The official assignee then decided not to take a decision in Dunedin, but to take a decision in Christchurch. I've never known why that was, but I always suspected that whatever their decision, Mr. Hislop would not accept it. In any event, they took the decision in Christchurch, which was to effectively determine that there should be no further action against me in respect of those allegations.
He doesn't seem to like you very much, Mr. Hislop. Would you say he's a vexatious litigant?
I wouldn't describe him as an evil person. Russell suffered probably more than anyone else as a consequence of his failings in business, and I bear some responsibility for the ventures that we were both in that failed. I'm not about to slow them up. The company Queen's Park News at the time when Russell Hislop went bankrupt was hopelessly insolvent and had debts that exceeded its liabilities by quite a margin. My effort caused that company to continue to trade and make money and repay its debts.
And so are you paying yourself as a shareholder?
No, when it got to the point where it had repaid its debts, I stopped the trade. So it's not like there's lots of assets sitting in it. I got into the position that it could repay its debts, and then it hasn't traded since.
Do you think you owe Mr. Hislop some money? He seems to think he might do.
Not at all, no.
Well, he's talking about $500,000 that he's basically have been done out of.
Yeah, he does. I reject that.
Why do you reject it?
Well, for the reasons that presumably the official assignee in the end determined that those allegations weren't well founded.
You had a business partner with a claim against you. Did you declare that at all to the Labour Party when you sought selection, or Helen Clark before you went into Cabinet?
I had no live claims against me then, because the accusations that Mr. Hislop had made had been looked into by the official SIE and determined. So, there was, and there's nothing current against me.
Is this not something new that you were waiting to catch up with you at some stage?
I've always known that the business failures that I had with Mr. Hislop would be used against me. That's the nature of politics these days, sadly. The events that I was involved with him included the very public failure of a restoration project of the St. James Theatre in Dunedin. It's never been hidden. My own promotional materials when I was elected have always made reference to the fact that I've had business failures as well as successes. So. I don't think I've been hiding things.
Well, if you knew that these would always be used against you, why did you accept the role of Attorney General?
Well, I actually don't think there's any infamy that comes from actually having had a business fail.
No, it's not the failure, it's the declaration.
I hadn't thought to that. I mean, if I hadn't thought to that, I wouldn't have done it. I mean, I filed the last of these declarations in the middle of last year. It might sound glib, but I have the relevant resolution signed by myself and my father, who's also a shareholder, and didn't put it past either the official SIE in bankruptcy or Mr. Hislop, and that's my mistake, and that's why I resigned.
It's not as though you had to go to a lot of shareholders, is it? And there were only three in the company.
No, that's right. But that, of course, cuts both ways. I mean, if I'd given this sort of the proper thought that I obviously should have done, I wouldn't be in this situation in the first place because it was easily avoided.
Do you so know that any false declarations you actually signed off on?
I haven't checked that, but it would be from the, as I said, the first one after Mr. Hislop's bankruptcy. I recall that I did, properly through the official SIE's office. I knew that he wasn't, had no further interest in the company, and sort of, might sound strange, but sort of put it to the back of my mind from then and did it from then.
Are you going to admit that you made a false declaration, or are you going to maintain that you made a mistake?
It's cutting words finally, isn't it? I admit I've made a mistake. I've admitted that the annual return on those later years, I ticked the box which said, have you had a unanimous resolution that all shareholders have agreed to, when all shareholders hadn't, given that Mr. Hislop's name was still on the list of shareholders, even though there was no value in those shares.
Do you think that the article in alleging that you swindled somebody is defamatory? And if so, do you intend to take action?
I'll think about that. I mean, I'm quite clear, as actually the answers show, that printed in that article, that I didn't swindle Mr. Hislop or act improperly. So I'll certainly think about my remedies in terms of
When you ticked off this box, the wording was quite clear on what you were ticking off. Now that is making a false declaration. It's not a mistake because you had to tick one box or the other. You've made a false declaration.
I've admitted that. That's right, and that's why I resigned.
So it's more than a mistake.
Doing that was a mistake.
So by doing that, you made a false declaration.
Well, I mean,
you may say it's semantics, but it's important.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's for others to determine that. I think. I mean, I've made the admission that I have made, and I think that the mistake I made was inconsistent with the Attorney General also profit by resignation. The question is, did I deliberately? I mean, with the benefit of hindsight, I was a bit glib in the way I just took the form and sent it in. But in my mind, I had done it right the first year following Mr. Hislop's bankruptcy when I had gone to the official SMA and said, look, have you got any interest in this company? It's got more debts than liabilities. They plainly didn't. Got them to sign the form the first year. Didn't tidy up the share register to get Mr. Hislop's name off it, and didn't put the forms to the official assignee in later years. So I should have done that, but I didn't.
When you ticked the box in the later years, were you aware at the time you were cutting corners?
I never thought about it in that detail.
What was the motive?
The motive was to file the annual return, which has to be filed every year.
The motive was to cut corners, wasn't it?
I don't know that it was. I mean, as I said previously, in my mind, I'd done it right the first time. I didn't give it a lot of thought. Obviously, if I'd given it a lot of thought, I wouldn't have done it. But I obviously didn't have it enough for it to do it that way.
Haven't you lost this job for the sake of $400 or $500 a year, which is what you're saying the winning amount if you
the other at most, I probably would have just sent the form to the official SIE and he would have done as he did in the earlier years. That's right. So, but, technicalities do matter. And, when I saw that allegation there today, I actually phoned an old mentor of mine in Dunedin, and I said, what do you think, Jim? And we talked about it on the telephone for half an hour, and we both came to the view that I made a mistake that was inconsistent with continuing on with the important traditions of the General, and so I've just resigned.
Does this sort of mistake be inconsistent with your other portfolios as a minister? Do you have any problems? you think there's any problem with that?
No, I don't think so. Again, that's for journalists and others to judge, but I think I've tried to do the honourable thing and resigned from that, which is the closest to it. I don't know that's as relevant to my other portfolio responsibilities.
So you deny that you took the wrong job to avoid an audit?
No, I certainly didn't do that to avoid an audit. No, I just...
How do you think the public is going to read this when arguably they may already feel like there's a law for everybody else and there's the other law for ministers?
I don't think that most people out there think that politicians' lives and their actions are scribbled over in far more detail than anyone else's lives. I think in respect of my own life that I've done a lot more in my life than a lot of people have. And overall, I'm proud of the things that I've achieved in my life, but I'm certainly ashamed of this particular mistake.
And how do you think the public will perceive this?
I don't know. I think at one level, the public realise that all politicians are human and that we make mistakes.
Did you at any point consider resigning all your portfolios or just this one?
I did think about that. I tendered the resignation of the Attorney General one because I thought this was close to it. To be honest, if I didn't hold the portfolio responsibility of the Attorney General, I don't know that I would have thought this mistake serious enough to prompt my resignation.
Did you take political advice on that?
No, I didn't. I phoned, as I said, a mentor of mine out of the office here. It's important to get a little distance from this perspective around here. After speaking with him, thought that was the proper thing to do, and so proper that resignation, but didn't feel I needed to go further.
What did being Attorney General mean to you?
I think it's a very important office because it protects so many of our civil liberties. It's the interface between Parliament and the judiciary. So it was an honour to hold that office, and it was an honour to have held that office, but obviously I regret how it ended.